Thank you, Johnny, for that very appropriate song for our communion service tonight. Just a little bit on the order of the service. I'll be sharing a sermonette, try to keep it short. And then we'll have our sharing time. And we're going to pass the mic around tonight. Not sure if we'll keep doing this, but we've decided to do it again this time, where we pass the mic around and everyone share your testimony. That's for those who are members and those who have arranged to have communion with us who are not members yet. At the conclusion of that sharing time, then we will serve the emblems. Well, I think we'll do it by section at a time, probably. 1, 2, 3, 4. Come forward and we'll share the juice and then the bread. And at the conclusion of that, then Larry's going to come share a reading about foot washing. And then he will be announcing the feet washing arrangements that we will have. And at the end, if I don't remember, maybe Larry will remind me again, we want to do a little circle, bind us together thing. It's a beautiful thing. Communion is a good time for a church. I have just found in the years and years that we've celebrated communion at a church how I just go away feeling blessed, just really blessed. It's hard to explain what it all is, but it is a together thing where we honor Christ for his sacrifice. We remember the suffering, and we're nourished. I don't understand how through this whole experience, and we are certainly blessed, and we're expecting that here tonight. On the night he was betrayed, our Savior instituted the communion service. And we celebrate it. We will be celebrating it tonight, Lord willing, with the emblems. There's the juice of the grapes and the bread made from wheat. Or tonight we have a little special treat for you. For those of you who are gluten intolerant, I have a special little plate here for you that you can have. I think it's made of oatmeal. Anyway, it is grain crushed together. What is the communion celebration all about? What does it look like in a practical sense? How exclusive should it be? The focus of tonight's short message is celebrating together as a local body of believers. Is our service open to anyone who wishes to partake? Is it up to the individual to decide if he or she should partake? Is church membership an issue here? Title for this short sermon this evening is Communion Together. And the focus here on tonight's message is together, communion together. And I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians 10, 15 to 22. I flew down to Florida Wednesday morning of this week for my aunt's funeral. And my aunts and uncles were servants of the church for many years. They sang together as a family quartet for 40 years. And Aunt Fran was 90 years old. And for the last while, they hadn't been singing together, but they had sung together for many years. And the later years, they moved to Florida permanently. They used to migrate, but they moved to Florida and they were taken in by a church down there. I got to see the church, Hope Mennonite Fellowship. And the church there has been so nice to those old people. My Aunt Fran and Margie, they never married. They never had any children. Peter and Martha never had any children either. And so they didn't have any family much there for the funeral. But Hope Mennonite Fellowship, they're put on a beautiful service for them. They've kind of taken them under their wings and taken care of them over all these years. And at the end of the service, I went to their senior pastor there, Henry Detweiler, and I just sat down and I said, thank you. Thank you for taking care of my aunt over these years. And that is what churches do. That is what a body of believers do. They take care of each other. We take care of each other physically. We look out for each other spiritually. And that's what the sermonette is about this evening, is taking care of each other, doing things together, and especially tonight, doing the communion service together. We eat together, we drink together, and together we remember. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to be reading here 1 Corinthians 10, verses 15 to 22. And I'd like for you to notice especially a word. If you have the King, if you have the English Standard Version, it's the word participation. The King James would use the word communion, but the word in the ESV is participation. It's found in verse 16. And that's what the message is about tonight. Verse 15, 1 Corinthians 10, I speak as to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread. We who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Consider the people of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices participants in the altar? What do I imply then, that food offered to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, I imply that what pagans sacrifice, they offer to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Shall we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? This is the Lord's word. There are three ways, according to Daniel Kaufman, that churches celebrate communion. And the first one is open communion. And most Protestant churches would celebrate open communion. And some of the more liberal Mennonite churches would as well, Anabaptist churches. And what Daniel defines as open communion is admitting to the communion all persons who feel themselves worthy to partake of it. Anybody who wishes to partake simply comes in and partakes. It is not up to the body that's there at all as to whether they do it or not. They just come in, sit down, and they partake. That's open communion. There's the other extreme, which is closed communion, and that is where only those members in good standing in a local church who are members can partake in communion. And then there is a third option, which is the one that we practice, and what we call close communion. It's not closed, it's close. And he defines it as this: the communicants are confined to those of like precious faith, acknowledging the jurisdiction and oversight of the church having charge of the communion. So basically what Daniel Kaufman is saying here is that close communion is administered by the local church, and it is up to the discretion of the local church whether someone coming in who is not a member can actually partake. It's not just self-serve, if you will. There is some responsibility that the local church has over who partakes in communion. What does close communion actually look like? Look at your verses again there. In 1 Corinthians 10, 16, it says, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? The word participation, translated participation here in the English Standard Version, is koinonia. Koinonia is also translated in other versions, communion or sharing or fellowship. Vines gives the following usage notes for koinonia. It says, having in common, partnership, or fellowship, the share which one has in anything, a participation, fellowship recognized and enjoyed. Thus it is used of the common experiences and interests of Christian men. The participation in what is derived from the Holy Spirit, the participation in the sufferings of Christ, the sharing in the resurrection life possessed in Christ, and so a fellowship with the Father and the Son, the participation in the knowledge of the Son of God, the sharing of the realization of the effects of the blood of Christ and the body of Christ as set forth by the emblems in the Lord's Supper. So the term there, participation, also translated as communion, is a having in common, fellowship, sharing together the blood of Christ, sharing together the body of Christ. So the focus of my short message tonight is that in communion, we basically share together. It is not a me and Jesus experience. It is a body of Christ sharing together of the emblems. We share together. We identify with Christ, we partner with him, and we participate or share together in the death and resurrection of Christ. The bread and the juice are not communion, but are symbolic of it. The communion is the togetherness that we as a body have with each other and with Christ. The emblems symbolize that. We participate in the blood of Christ in an emblematic way through our drinking of the cup. The bread which is broken and of which we partake is emblematic of the broken body of Christ. We are participants in Christ's flesh and blood. We are nourished, we are cleansed, and our identity is in Christ. Our participation in Christ is done in community with Christ's body here on earth. It's not to be an individualistic act of worship. It is to be done in community. As we participate with Christ in his body and blood, we also participate in community with our brothers and sisters in Christ. The grapes are crushed and blended into the cup. That is symbol, is emblematic or symptom, a symbol of the crushing that happens, the mingling that happens. The grains of wheat are ground into flour and become the loaf of which we partake. In our communion and our participation with Christ, there should be a strong emphasis on unity between the earthly participants. We participate together. There's an eating together. We drink together. We are the local body of Christ. On the same evening that Christ instituted what we call the Last Supper or communion, John records the high priestly prayer that Jesus prayed afterwards out in the Garden of Gethsemane, down by those old olive trees. He prayed the high priestly prayer. I want to read a couple of verses from John 17. As you sent me into the world, so have I sent them into the world, and for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Our doctrine of close communion is based on the principle that communion is taken in community with a local body that is caring and responsible for each other. We know each other. We have cared for each other. We have shared experiences, and we are accountable to each other. Each one of us here in this room, as that are members of this local body of Christ, are accountable to each other. That's a principle that many churches have drifted away from. I come to church on a Sunday morning, and I sit in there, and I am a spectator, basically. And the pastor there or whoever doesn't know the life that I live. They don't know. I'm not accountable to them. They're not accountable to me. And so we go our own separate little ways, and we have self-serve communion, basically. And that is not the way that that we should do it. We should be gathering together knowing that I am responsible to make sure that my life is clean, that I actually am worthy to partake through the blood of Christ. I am worthy to partake of communion. And I'm also, and this is the scary part and the hard part, perhaps, I'm also responsible for my brother. I'm also responsible for my brother. If I see something in my brother or sister's life that is not right, they are not living right, I am responsible as part of the body to address that situation. And so as we prepare for communion, we are responsible not only for our own, but for each other, for the spiritual well-being of each other and the closeness and accountability of the body. The way that we show that accountability by a special sharing time is through a special sharing time prior to celebrating communion. So it is a participation together, communion is. It's a call to accountability. A close communion provides for the exclusion of those who are called brothers and sisters but are not living right. And we can't know that of someone who just walks into church. We've never seen them before. We don't know where they're from. We've never met them. Nobody that's here knows them. They walk into church and they sit there and the emblems are passed around and they partake of it. We can't know them. We don't know them. We have not discipled them. They haven't discipled us. We don't have community with them. We don't have the commonness that a local body does have. So in our local body, in the way that we practice close communion, we do ask for commitment to accountability. We are not trying to be exclusive and use communion as some type of weapon or a cudgel, okay? So that if you don't, you know, come and be part of this church and you don't follow every little line, that we will not give you communion. We're not using it that way. We are using it in as an accountability tool where we care about each other, where we love each other, where we are responsible for each other. I could have called, and I thought about calling the sermonette tonight Responsible Communion, because that's what it would be, a responsible communion, where we're responsible for each other, and we care about each other, and we disciple each other. Why don't we commune with those from different denominations? That's a good question, and it's sometimes a little bit hard to know where the lines should be, but where doctrine is obviously different, where there is doctrine that is not scriptural, we don't have that type of fellowship and communion that we can just open it up and say, okay, you come on in. You worship angels. The priest forgives your sins, but it's okay. Come and join in our communion service. Doctrine does matter, and our fellowship does matter. So we don't. We accept, according to Daniel Kaufman, and I agree with him, those of like precious faith. They don't have to be quote-unquote Anabaptist or Mennonite, but they have to have like precious faith. Their doctrines have to be close enough. We look forward to the communion service tonight. I hope that you are looking forward to it. It's a privilege. Our opening song just set the tone for what communion is. We are celebrating the sufferings of a suffering Savior. We are so grateful for what he did for us. And we are so happy that he was willing to suffer and to give his life for us. So what we'll do now is bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for this group of believers, that each one of us is here tonight who has been redeemed, who has been washed by the blood of Christ. Thank you for these brothers and sisters in Christ. And I just pray, Father, that tonight our remembrance of your broken body, your shed blood, would be very meaningful and would be very, very much an obedience on our part to your command to remember, to remind us of what our redemption cost. May you be honored through this service tonight. I pray it in Christ's name. Amen.